I'd like to say welcome to Lakes Entrance Baptist Church online. And because of COVID restrictions, we're still utilising the opportunity to share over the internet and you linking in with the Lakes Entrance Baptist Church website. So thank you for joining us. We, as a church family, are seeking to respond within the confines of restrictions in ways that will be a blessing to people and also in ways that encourage people. And there are folks now gathering and meeting to pray at 8:30 on Fridays and also at 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings here in the church building. And you are so welcome to be part of that. And you'll be blessed to join us in that at either of those two times. We wear masks, we practice safe distancing, we have hand sanitizer, and we actually sit in the open air in a sheltered position. So we're just seeking to comply with what's required and what's good for everybody at this point. As a church family, we too are still responding to people who have been affected by fire and sometimes in far-flung places. We're out at Goongra and also Bonang this week, and there were five of us that went up there and we had a great time of fellowship and a great time fencing, and it was much appreciated. So if you would like to join and be part of that, we did a little bit of work on the way home at another property, and it was just so worthwhile and so appreciated. If you'd like to be part of that, please contact William or Norm, and whether you'd like to be part of it for half a day, a whole day, or even several days, you will enjoy the fellowship and you'll enjoy the privilege of serving. And women, please join us in this, because We need some sisters who would be a friend alongside women on their properties, and us blokes might be out doing some stuff. And I know that Christine faithfully joined in and helps and can fence with the best of us, but we need some women who would just love to sit down and chat and perhaps do a bit of gardening or something like that alongside some of the folks that are living out and about and needing support still. I've directed your attention to Psalm 22, as well as back in 1 Peter as we break bread together. But let me just read a little out of Psalm 22, and starting at verse 22, in fact, it says, "I will declare your name to my brothers. In the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor him, revere him. All you descendants of Israel, for he has not despised or disdained the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. From you comes my praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear you, I will fulfill my vows. The poor will eat and be satisfied. They who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of nations will bow down before him, for dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All those who go down to the dust will kneel before him, those who cannot keep themselves alive. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, for he has done it." I thought it would be just most appropriate for us to have actually Stuart Townend introduce the song that he wrote and that we've sung here many times, "How Deep the Father's Love for Us." I have a friend who turned 70 recently. He served as a missionary in Central Australia and then as a pastor in Shell Harbour, and when we joined in a Zoom birthday party with our friend Lloyd, and one of the things that Lloyd often says when a conversation begins, what's the Lord been saying to you? And I know one of his friends on the Zoom meeting asked him that question, which I thought was pretty good, because Lloyd is usually the one to ask us or ask his friends that question. I think it's a good question. What's the Lord been saying to you? Because it's just a tremendous privilege for us to have God reveal truth to us. And truth that brings about change in our hearts and in our minds, change of attitude. And I would go back to Matthew chapter 16, where we see this great confession of Peter when Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter says this, Simon Peter says this, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." It wasn't long after that where Peter gets it so right, having had this revelation from God, that when Jesus predicts his death, when he predicts the fact that he would suffer and be the suffering Messiah that nobody really expected, and that he would fall into the hands of sinful men, and he would be put to death, but he would rise again 3 days later. And Peter takes him aside and says, "Lord, Lord, this will never happen to you." And he tries to change Jesus' mind. But you know, we see a very different Peter, a Peter with a very different attitude and a very different understanding, who writes to us. And he gives such emphasis to what Jesus did. In fact, his opening phrases of this letter, as he speaks to people who had been scattered, people who'd been part of a great dispersion, really part of a great traumatic experience as they had to flee from persecution by and large. And he speaks to them as people who had been sprinkled by the blood of Jesus. And we see the centrality of the cross. Although he doesn't use the word the cross, he actually uses a term of Jesus being hung upon a tree. Peter's actually speaking about the suffering of Jesus, the necessary suffering of Jesus, so that we could be people that are brought back and bought back by the precious blood of Jesus. He goes on to say that, it wasn't with perishable things, it wasn't with our own treasure or our own ability or our own attempts at being good that we've been redeemed. You know, for you were not you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver and gold that you were redeemed, but from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but revealed in these last times for your sake. Hence, King David would write about him, and we have what we've looked at in Psalm 22, speaking about the Messiah who would suffer. We go on also to see that we are a people called to follow Jesus and to follow his example and cope with things that come our way differently to what we would normally, with a different attitude, with a different foundation that would hold us in tough times. And it says of Jesus in chapter 2 and verse 23, it says, "For when they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed." You've got a different heart. You don't have to operate out of the hurt and the pain and the shame and the failure and the fear that once gripped your heart, because there's been, if you've trusted in what Jesus has done for you, if you've confessed your sin and sought his forgiveness, then he makes things new in our lives. And he gives us a new heart. And there is a new sanctified attitude that causes there to be change when we hear from God and when we take him at his word and when we trust him. You know, "For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." What a wonderful thing to have this Lord Jesus do this wonderful thing for us even today. Peter is a different Peter that's speaking to us. Not the Peter that would try and change Jesus' mind, but it's Peter that's had a change of mind himself, a change of heart. And so what Jesus has done on the cross that Peter didn't want to see happen has been revealed to him as this is the salvation that God has always planned. And so he quotes Psalms and he quotes Isaiah in what he writes to us, and we've seen some of that already. If we go down into chapter 3, we will see another statement that he makes, where in verse 18 he says, "For Christ died for our sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit." Now, we see Peter saying to us that what Jesus did on the cross is central. What Jesus did on the cross was essential for mankind, because he, the righteous one, he, the perfect one, he, the one full of grace and truth, he, the one, the demonstration of God's perfect love, comes and suffers in a place for us, comes and bears the wrath of God, the wrath that would be and should be poured out on us unrighteous ones, but was born and carried by Jesus, the righteous one. Now, understanding this, accepting this, receiving this, is what brings about a change of heart, a change of attitude. It's what brings about healing in broken hearts. It's what brings us back to God. And that's the wonderful thing. For Christ died for our sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous. Why? To bring you to God. And so today we celebrate, we take the cup and we take the bread. And we do so because Jesus said for us to do this in remembrance of him. And if you've not got bread or wine available, maybe you could just pause this broadcast and go and get some elements that will help you remember and break bread either by yourself or with your family, and do this in remembrance of him, the righteous one who died for you, the unrighteous one. You see, we are not left on our own to work things out ourselves. We are called by God to be a people that are his people, and to be a people whose attitudes have changed. If we go down into chapter 4 and verse 1, it says this: "Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude. Because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. And as a result, he no longer lives the rest of his life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God." I wonder, do you have yourself armed with the right attitude? I wonder, do you have yourself armed with an understanding that, yep, suffering will come your way, difficulty will be your lot, but you can arm yourself with the attitude that you are one who belongs to God. You've been brought to God. You're a chosen people. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you might declare the praises of him who's called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. And so we need to be a people that arm ourselves also with this attitude of Christ. Facing suffering, facing difficulty, facing sometimes a misunderstanding, facing restrictions that we don't like, but facing them with the attitude of Christ. The body and the blood of Jesus given for you makes it possible for you to step into life differently. You don't have to react and respond in the way that you used to. You don't have to become annoyed or retaliate. You don't have to become impatient. You can have a different attitude. Now, this is a work of God in your life. This is something where God would speak to you, to me, and would take us in a different direction. We're reading the same man, Peter, but a man with a different heart, a man with a different attitude. My prayer is that as you reflect upon the cross, as you consider the wonder of the cross, as you meditate on what has been done for you, your heart will just rise up with thanksgiving and with a sense of yieldedness and trust in God, that you can say, well, Lord, you just take me where you want me to go so that I might be a people that lives for the declaration of your praise. As we now just take some time to reflect on the wonder of the cross, and if you have some bread and some grape juice, some wine to drink, I pray that as your heart is prepared, just take the bread and take the cup and eat and drink in remembrance of the Lord Jesus. Proclaim his death in that way. And then partway through the song, you'll be led in prayer. And I pray that your heart will just respond to him with thanksgiving at the wonder of what God has done for you to save you. That no longer is there wrath, the wrath of God before you. There is the forgiveness and grace and compassion and mercy because the righteous one has died for the unrighteous to bring you to God. Thank you for being with us today, and I pray that God will bless you and enable you to be armed with this same attitude that was in Christ. And I pray that you would rather live for the will of God. We'll be looking at that next week. May God bless you.